No intro music today. We have a special episode for you. I am EJ Fagan tonight, joined by Andy Singer.
Hey, EJ.
Andy, I have been doing the Bronx Beat podcast in 2014, and not until, except for a very, very brief period a few years ago, not until now have I had the urge to talk about the New Jersey Devils in the last 8 years. We're going to talk about baseball again next week. Don't worry, this isn't turning into a Devils podcast. But Andy and I, we're both big Devils fans, and this is so much fun right now to be a Devils fan for the first time in a very long time. Andy, you and I, we're about the same age. Like, we both came up with the Devils as the best team in hockey.
Yeah, it's phenomenal to remember a time when the Devils were good, because it's been so ugly for so long. But yeah, that's how we grew up.
I mean, we were spoiled children. We had the Yankees and the Devils at the same time. And they were very similar teams, right? Like, even for, you know, the decade after the Devils last won the Stanley Cup, kind of like the Yankees, like that core team that they had built up, even as it aged, was still really good. And they went a different path than the Yankees, where the Yankees retooled their team. They didn't have a salary cap, and so they were able to spend a lot of money, bring up some effective young players, and just kind of keep that team winning. Where the Devils kind of took that core, that Posada, Jeter, Andy Pettit-like core, and after they all aged out, the team just kind of hit the doldrums. There was one season where they went to the Stanley Cup in 2012. There was one season where Taylor Hall was the MVP of the National Hockey League, and so they just barely made the playoffs. But besides that, they have been essentially a last-place team for a decade, and now they're not, and it's great. So Andy, what changed? Like, this is the same roster the Devils had a year ago. Why are they suddenly good?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So for those of you sitting at home following Bronx Beat podcasts, it's very typical for EJ and I to sit here and talk for a couple of minutes and talk hockey after every episode that we're on together, because there's always been this sense throughout these years and years of just painful rebuilding that the Devils were going to be good again. The pieces have been there. The Devils have had multiple number one overall picks. They've accumulated an array of skilled hockey players. I mean, Jack Hughes had his mini breakout last season. Nico Hischier has developed a two-way game that's really impressive. They've got good supporting cast up front. There were a couple of pieces missing, but for the last two seasons, I think, Devils fans really expected, okay, this is going to be the year where they take a genuine step forward and compete for the back end of a playoff spot.
And to give you a little more, detail there, like, the Devils never tried to be the worst team in the NHL, right? They never really completely cleared out their roster. They actually kept making trades where they would bring in some pretty good players, and then they kept winning the draft lottery. So they were always like the sixth or seventh worst team in the NHL, but they kept picking first or fourth or whatever overall. And that was nice because they got some good players on the roster. But it gave us hope. Right, yeah. So like every year we went into the season being like, oh man, like this is going to be like Kyle Palmieri is going to score 35 goals this season. It's going to be great. And that's the feeling we had last year. And last year they were terrible. And I was at the first game at Prudential Center this season. I think it was the second game of the season. And they looked awful. And we booed Lindy Ruff. Right. We said we were chanting, fire our coach. In the second game of the season, and I meant it, right? Like, I wanted him gone.
Really? You were on the fire Lindy Ruff train, EJ?
Honestly, if you gave me the choice right now, I probably still would. we can get to some of the coaching there. But then they went on. They've lost, I think, two games since then. They went on one of the longest winning streaks in NHL history, the longest in franchise history. And they have been dominant. Not just winning, but they are the best team in the NHL, and it's not close.
So here's what I think fans need to, who watch the Devils and watch hockey in general, need to understand. There's one genuine Achilles heel with this team, or at least had been an Achilles heel with this team for years, particularly since Corey Schneider sort of fell off the map after numerous hip injuries. And that's the fact that the goaltending was truly bottom of the NHL caliber. The Devils continually had goalies that they thought would be decent and give them good enough goaltending with the possibility for more to allow the team to play fast up front. And it just never worked out that way. Mackenzie Blackwood was a young prospect who just really hasn't developed consistently, and they've had a lot of injuries on the back end. So the Devils got bottom of the barrel goaltending, and that really dragged down the rest of the offense. The offense started to pick up a little bit last year as some of these young lottery picks started to come into their own. And I think you could see a possibility that the Devils could score and play fast if the defense and the goaltending was a little better. The other place the Devils really struggled was with special teams. The penalty kill wasn't as good as it should have been, and the power play in particular. Every year it felt like we sat there saying, how are the Devils going to redesign the power play? And they just couldn't get it going. So what's really turned around this year, the Devils went from having the worst goaltending in hockey to having some of the best goaltending in hockey. I mean, Vanecek has been an absolute revelation this season, and it was seen as an also-ran this offseason as teams sought other goalies first and the Devils sort of got the seconds on the trade market. But Vanecek has turned out to be one of the best goalies in the NHL here early on. It looks like one of their young prospects, Akira Schmid, is ready to be at least a decent NHL backup and possibly more than that. So finally, the Devils have shored up their back end. In addition to that, they've gotten better performance out of their defense. They've made a couple of really nice trades to shore up the back end. Marino's been great early on here. But I also think that it's huge that Doug Hamilton, who signed a big free agent contract for the Devils, who was really pretty bad last season, has been one of the best players on the ice this season. He's been a two-way defenseman. He's fourth on the team in points scored, and he's just been fantastic defensively. He's got a plus-minus of 16, and his Corsi ratings are among the best in the league for defensemen. So the Devils have shored up the back end, and the thing that I really like about Lindy Ruff, whatever else we want to say about him later on, I think his style of play really fits this roster. And the forwards are able to play really fast, pump a ton of shots on net, and it's allowing their skill to sort of shine above what other teams are doing to beat them.
So I want to give a different revision of history here. So I think, you know, the Devils certainly made some big personnel changes, right? So I think you're right. John Marino has been huge. I think just in general, essentially, you know, taking a Damon Severson, who was their number one defenseman last season, and making him essentially their number five defenseman this season, is just a huge improvement. Hamilton, you know, after he got hit in the face with the puck, was never really his old self. Now he's looking like his old self. He's been really aggressive, really good shooting. Graves and Siegenthaler have been two of the best defensive defensemen I've ever seen. Siegenthaler, I think someone mentioned Siegenthaler for the Norris yesterday, which is, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but is nuts that's even being discussed for a defenseman like him.
He's playing like it. He deserves it.
I mean, he's been incredible and like even has a little bit of offense occasionally, but he's just been this supreme defensive player. But I can never remember a Norris Trophy winner that was primarily a defensive defenseman. Like it's always someone who's really good in defense, but also scores a ton of points. Yeah, they added a couple of forwards. You know, the big forward they added was Andrej Palat, who has not played because he's been injured. For the most part, you know, Eric Halla, but for the most part, it's the same group of forwards that returned last year. And I just think they're coached better. I think subtracting Mark Recchi and Elaine Nazardine and adding Chris Taylor and Andrew Brunette especially has been amazing. And I really wonder if Elaine Nazardine was the problem holding them back for years, because the defense just looks like a completely different unit now. They look more responsible. They're better at clearing pucks. They're not jumping into the play the dumb way like they were last season. They are a part of the offense, but not too aggressive, which leaves a hole and gets an odd man rush the other way.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think Andrew Burnett deserves a ton of credit, and I agree. I think Devils fans hated Alain Nazardine for years, and I think it's ironic that the best that the Devils, prior to this season, the best the Devils had ever played defensively with Alain Nazardine around was when Nazardine was the head coach and not managing the defense solely day-to-day. But I think it's true that Andrew Burnett is pretty clearly a head coach in waiting. I think there's clearly a succession plan.
It was weird where they did that, right? Like they hire Andrew Burnett instead of calling him an assistant coach, which is what you always do, right? You have a head coach and three or four assistant coaches. They hired Andrew Burnett and called him an associate coach, and you know, very clearly said, you know, Lindy Ruff is on the hot seat. He's not getting fired now. I mean, that's not happening. But yeah, I wonder how much Andrew Burnett's just kind of doing everything.
Yeah, I think Andrew Burnett's doing a lot, and I think that Lindy Ruff's calling card has never been defense. That's at any of his stops, particularly the Buffalo teams that were so good that Lindy Ruff coached. They weren't very good defensively, and they relied on a dominant Dominik Hasek in net.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could coach Dominik Hasek's team, right? Like, it's not that hard to coach when you have arguably the best goaltender at the peak of his abilities, you know, backstopping you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no question about it. So I think we've seen the things that Lindy Ruff does really well as a coach. I think he's the exact right type of coach for the forwards that this team has. It's all guys who can play end-to-end and skate back and forth. Where I completely agree with you, the Devils weren't very good was at home in their own end. They had a lot of trouble clearing the puck. They had a lot of trouble getting the puck out of their zone. And actually, it was reflected in Corsi rating prior to this season, in that the Devils just didn't maintain possession of the puck in the other end of the ice or even control the play in the neutral zone very well prior to this season. And that speaks a lot to the Devils' inability to play on the back end. It also speaks poorly of their ability to back check effectively. So I think Andrew Burnett and coaching has had a huge effect because there's not a ton of personnel change on the backside other than Marino and a healthy Doug Hamilton.
Yeah, and you know, the only forward that has really stepped it up over last season on a per game basis at least is Hischier. Nico Hischier looks like a Selke Trophy winner easily. I think he's been the best player on the ice, period, for the Devils. But they had Bratton. He was playing really well last season. I mean, Hughes was injured for quite a bit of it. But even when he was playing well last season, they weren't winning games. The rest of the forward base is like basically doing the same thing they were doing last year. And I really do think it's the defense that's making them look better.
I do think it's important to note, though, the one big difference this season, everyone is healthy at the same time, and that was not the case last year. This has largely been the same lineup night in and night out, which I honestly can't remember a time that we could say that as Devils fans for at least the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
Well, I believe this was like the first two or three game stretch where Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, and Jack Hughes all played at the same time. No, I agree. And you know, right now they're kind of getting a little banged up. So Nathan Bastian's going to be out for a little bit. Today, Miles Wood just kind of mysteriously disappeared. And I think I felt it in the game tonight because they just clearly were like missing a forward. Now they're also playing with seven defensemen and short one forward. And so like that, I think that's also a big part of it. I worry a little bit that, you know, the wheels start to come off, but they have such a big lead that even if the wheels do come off, like, they're fine. Like, this is a playoff team. I think they're 99% to make the playoffs at this point.
This sounds like a really familiar conversation.
I was thinking about that, too. Okay, yeah. So, are you concerned that they have a second half like the Yankees had last season?
Not yet, because I still think the goaltending is significantly better than last season. And I just want to reiterate, the goaltending was truly next level bad last season in particular for the Devils. And it's so much better this year. I think Vanacek's taken a step forward. I think with Schmid and Dawes getting another year of experience under their belt, I think they're much more capable backups. And eventually Blackwood will be healthy and presumably be part of the mix again if he isn't trade bait. So
I yes and no. So I think So last year, I think you and I are both kind of looking at the same stats. The Devils had a really good 5-on-5 stats. And those are usually what are called possession stats or shooting stats. If you're not familiar with these, there's several different ways they're calculated, but essentially they measure your advantage in shooting attempts versus the other team at 5-on-5. So that's shots, missed shots, block shots. And the Devils last year were suspiciously great at those statistics. That is, they really did a good job outshooting the other team at even strength, even while they were one of the worst teams in the NHL. And I think that those shots don't do a good job. Those stats don't do a good job of accounting for where the shots were coming from the Devils last year. And that they were shooting from the point, very low percentage shots. And that was their strategy. Like, their entire strategy was like, get it up to, you know, big defensemen on the point and let them bomb it in and try to get like a rebound or something. And that was not very successful. And I think this season they're shooting like a normal hockey team, sometimes from the point, but sometimes down low. They've scored a lot of goals, kind of ugly goals from the side, that kind of stuff. But, you know, Jack Hughes has gotten good at, you know, bouncing pucks off goalie skates. You know, I feel like last season we overestimated how good they were. And I think that there's this like general improvement overall.
Yes, there is some general progression overall. However, the team, other than the fact that there were low percentage shots, and I agree with you 100%. For full transparency, I think it's great to have some better analytics than what we had, say, when you and I were growing up with hockey.
That's not baseball.
But exactly. I do not think that analytically we're anywhere close to as far along with being able to trust the statistics, because I still think I think of hockey analytics kind of the way I think about defensive analytics in baseball, in that they're a nice guideline and very flawed, particularly in small samples.
And they're frankly much worse than defensive statistics in baseball. I mean, baseball has the statistical superpower that they have individual events, and that event ends, and so you can credit the people who contributed to that event. When there's a pitch and then there's a ball in play and, you know, something happens in that ball in play. Whereas in hockey, you have this continuous stream back and forth of action that it's incredibly difficult to kind of credit players individually to.
Right. So I think acknowledging that fact, I think one of the things that we do have, we can at least say what is the progression year over year. So one of the things that sort of speaks to what you're saying is a stat called SCF percentage, and that's percentage of scoring chances in your team's favor. And in this case, the Devils at 5-on-5 this season
dominating are absolutely
just
dominating,
otherworldly, almost 60% coming into tonight, 59.8%. Last season they were at 51 and change percent, which isn't bad, but it's not anywhere close to the league leaders. At 59.8%, the Devils are well above the rest of the league. They're elite. And I think that, yes, the Devils are able to score more consistently. Part of that is because I think they're able to trust that there's going to be somebody on the back end to stop a scoring chance coming the other way. I can't stress enough how much better this team is defensively and in net, and I think that has freed up their forwards to play more aggressively and really skate to the other end, which is Lindy Ruff's strength as a coach from a strategy perspective.
I mean, just to give an example here, right? The Devils are the best at even strength at limiting shots and the best at getting shots, right? They have been. There's not been a team more dominant than the Devils right now in a long time. I think the only flaw in this team, and it amazes me, maybe you can help me answer this. I cannot figure out how a team this talented year after year can consistently be terrible at the power play.
Yep.
They score two more goals tonight, so this is going to change a little bit, but they are, I believe, are 21st in the power play, despite being this dominant at even strength, being this good at, on the penalty kill, and having incredibly talented players on the roster to at least fill out that first power play unit. Like, what's wrong? Why can't they score power play goals for the last decade?
Yeah, it's actually, well, the last decade is another story. I have my theories about the previous coaching regime, but under Lindy Ruff, I think part of the reason the Devils have struggled as a power play unit really stems from the fact that where Lindy Ruff's teams excel from an offensive perspective is the ability to get up ice in transition, pepper the net with shots, and score on odd man scoring opportunities where they've forechecked aggressively and they've moved in transition. On the power play, your team is set up. Speed isn't a huge advantage on the power play because it's all about scheme and about puck movement as opposed to killing teams with speed and agility. So I think that's part of the reason the Devils struggle, despite the fact that they've got some seriously good skill players with really good vision on the ice. So you would think that puck movement would be good enough to be, if not elite, then at least above average as a power play unit. Meanwhile, this season, the Devils, it's actually an improvement that the Devils are merely slightly below average as a power play unit. But I think if we look prior to the Lindy Ruff regime, it's pretty funny to me that the Devils lost tonight to the Predators because you and I were talking about the John Himes years as the Devils were rebuilding. And so often the John Hines Devils got lost in trying to make one extra pass as opposed to getting to the net, taking open shots. And it was, as somebody who had a ticket package at the time under when John Hines coached the Devils, it was fascinating to watch as skilled hockey players, Taylor Hall was one. I remember Devontae Smith-Pelly, who's basically a third, fourth liner, who came to the Devils and had a couple of really good weeks, scored a bunch of goals, and it was because he really didn't understand the scheme yet. So when he played third and fourth line minutes, he just played really hard, really fast, got to the net, and it actually worked reasonably well for him. So over time, as he learned the system, he stopped trusting his open shots, and he'd sort of freeze with the puck, and he'd actually wind up with giveaways because you could tell that he was thinking instead of playing. And John Hines' Devils, as much as I thought, I didn't think he was a bad coach, I thought that the scheme got stale and didn't fit the type of players the Devils had at the time.
Well, he was very consciously not coaching with a system.
Right.
Which made no sense to me. I mean, maybe it's better than last year's, Lindy Ruff system, which was bad. But the hockey is such a coach's game. And it was very strange when the plan just kind of seemed to be to, like, attack. Like, that was the entire system under John Hines. And what I like this year is that they're not trying to get too cute with their system. So, like, I think their problem with power play last year was they couldn't enter the zone. Despite having Jack Hughes, like, the best skater, like, at holding onto the puck in the National Hockey League, they couldn't get into the zone and then set up. And I think that's where they've improved this year. But I really think the real problem this year, and the problem that this kind of gets to the next question we're going to talk about, kind of where this team goes forward. We're not going to do a lot of podcasts about the Devils, probably maybe one more, when the playoffs get close, if we're really excited. But there's going to be a trade deadline. The Devils are going to have a chance to improve this team. And I think the thing they're missing the most on the power play and just in general is a real good shooter. They got a lot of good passers. They got a lot of guys who are really good at back checking. Jack Hughes is, again, I think one of the best just like, agile players in the NHL at getting the puck and holding on to it. But they don't really have anyone who's been like a sniper type. And I think that's been the problem on the power play is that, now they're getting good at getting up, setting up, getting some movement on the puck, but they haven't really found any one player to just bury the puck consistently. Hughes is, at times can do it, but that's not Nico Hischier. That's not really Jesper Bratt. The Jesper Bratt is a really strong offensive player. And so they don't have someone to take the big shot.
So the joke is you actually are getting to the point that I was going to make a minute ago, which was part of the gift and the curse of the Lindy Ruff system. Part of the reason the Devils are so successful 5-on-5 is because they kill teams with speed and agility. They're able to hang on to the puck, and they're able to just skate like demons over the entire length of the ice. and that's great. The problem is, in order to play 5-on-5, it really cuts out some of the guys who have a half ice game who are snipers, which is typically that style of player. To give an example, one of the Devils' top draft picks last year or 2 years ago, I apologize, I forget the year he was drafted, but Alexander Holtz is a pretty premium
should be that guy.
Who should be that guy. But when you watch him play 5-on-5, you realize that he's just not fast enough yet to play in this scheme. A guy who's having a lot of success on the lower lines this season is Fabian Zetterlund. And part of the reason that Fabian Zetterlund took a little longer than expected to come up under the Lindy Ruff system, he really needed to get a little lighter and a little faster in order to play consistently at 5-on-5 with this team. So I think the Devils are losing out. The scheme causes them to lose out on some of the guys who could be snipers and weapons on the power play. So Alexander Holtz is a guy that I look at and I say, that should be your sniper. That should be your stay-at-home point man who floats around at the top of the circle just waiting to get a Brott pass across.
Now I heard rumors that he improved his skating a lot this offseason. That he and Jesper Bratt share a skating coach, and that skating coach really did a lot to make Bratt just incredibly fast, and that that Holtz did that. Now the problem is that Holtz has barely played this season, because as soon as he starts in the lineup, he actually scores a goal, I think, in the first game, and then eventually gets kicked out of the lineup, and they go on a winning streak, and they're not going to change the team up during the winning streak. He's back now that they have some injuries, and he scored a goal tonight, mm-hmm. and so maybe he sticks around. But I honestly haven't been able to notice. I mean, it's hard on TV to kind of see how fast somebody is. In person, it's a lot easier. I mean, do you think that Holtz is faster?
I haven't seen it. I think he's faster than he was last season. I think he's still shy of the guys that he's a scorer. He's not a guy who's going to play on your third or fourth line and produce value, because he's just not very good.
He's going to float around and wait for the play to come to him so he can take a shot.
Exactly. And though he's faster and more agile, I don't think, and again, I haven't been to a game yet this year, so it's tough for me to say. But part of the one of the places that you judge things like this is in warm-ups, watching a guy fly around the ice before the game, and you can kind of tell who's a better skater than the other guy. And I haven't been able to do that yet this year, but Alexander Holtz is, from my eye test, is faster than he was last season, still not enough to crack the top two lines consistently at 5-on-5. So I think it's going to be challenging to fit him in, because the other issue is the guys in the top six have played really well. So where does Alexander Holtz fit in the lineup if he's not top six?
So I mean, that's my follow-up question. So we have a trade deadline coming up. The Devils are going to be buyers, or at least have the opportunity to be buyers of the trade deadline. They have a loaded farm system of a lot of players they're not going to get a chance to use. They're going to have a draft pick that I'm sure they're not going to mind trading away this season. Do you think the Devils should add players to this roster? Let's assume everybody's healthy. Do you think that they should add an extra player to this roster, or do you think that there's not a whole lot to do?
That's a tough one. Hockey's tough in a way that in that one wrong move can tank chemistry in a way that doesn't exist in baseball, no matter what anybody else tries to sell you on. I think that baseball, so often, as much as it's a team sport, plays are individual. You're the one at the plate. You're the one pitching, even though you work in tandem with your catcher. That skill set's been diminished over the years. So you're the pitcher. You're the hitter. The fielder is making an individual play. In hockey, everybody works in tandem. So changing up chemistry in the locker room spills out onto the ice when guys are working together. I'd worry about upsetting what the Devils have right now. The flip side is the clear place this team needs to improve is on the power play. I also worry goalies are streaky. Do we believe that Vanecek is going to continue to play like one of the best goalies in hockey?
I think Vanecek's a good bet to be good enough.
I think he's a good bet to be good enough if the defense continues to play well. And I think Vanacek's a better goalie than I think most of us expected him to be.
I forget where there was a one of the projects by some statisticians has been trying to improve NHL statistics. And I remember them one of them appearing on a podcast and basically saying that goalies are an enigma within a puzzle that they'll never solve.
Yeah, I forget who said that. Yeah.
But basically that like you it's impossible really to know, other than like when Dominic Hasek and Henrik Lundqvist and Martin Brodeur are at the top of their game, like who is going to be a good goalie game to game, year to year. Vanacek has a .908 career save percentage, or at least coming into the season. He's .923 this season. Like, I think he's probably a good bet to be average or better, which is like, I mean, just such an improvement over what the Devils have gotten for so long. I think he's taken the spot from Mackenzie Blackwood. So I don't think the Devils have to rely on Blackwood. Looked okay before he got injured, even if the first couple of games he didn't look as good. I think Akira Schmid's a fine third goaltender. I'm not worried about goaltender. I'm worried about the power play. And I think the one, like, if I had to point to the weak point on this roster, like I think I want to keep that fourth line together. This McLeod, Nathan Bastian, Miles Wood line. I think their chemistry has been great for a while now. And I think Wood actually adds kind of a dangerous element to that line that wasn't there last season. But I think the Jesper Boqvist line is kind of the weak point on the Devils right now. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesper Boqvist in particular has been the player that I wouldn't mind subbing out in favor of somebody who's pretty good. And so I think about centers who could play on the power play, who can shoot. And I think about Bo Horvat.
Yeah, and that was kind of the other place that I was going to go. One sneaky place the Devils have not been terribly good, other than McLeod and Hischier, is they're not terribly good off the draw. If you've got outside of your top line and your fourth line, you really don't have guys that you feel good about taking a face-off. Jack Hughes is an incredible hockey player who is terrible.
33%. I mean, they're playing Eric Halla on his line just for the face-offs.
Yep. And it's pretty ugly. Eric, and to be
should
fair,
should he just Eric be a Halla's winger?
I don't think his game sets up well to be a winger from a scheme fit perspective.
It's true.
Hughes is a guy that really needs to be able to the freedom to move all over the ice the way a center does, as opposed to sticking to a side within a scheme. So no, he shouldn't play wing. In his rookie year, as bad as a lot of people said he played as, you know, a teenager playing with men, when the Devils tried to move him to wing just to see if he'd play a little faster, he actually played worse.
Yeah, I think Eric Halla has been so good at the wing. I wonder what happens though when Andrej Palat comes back, and if they try to move, you know, Palat onto that line, and then all of a sudden Hughes has to take faceoffs again. I mean, Mercer's been there. Mercer's not as great, so that great either. But you know, with Halla taking the faceoffs, I think they're like first in the NHL in faceoffs now, right? Because both Hischier and McLeod are like top 10.
Yes,
and Halla's pretty good too.
Yeah, but if you were going to tell me that the Devils need a sniper, I'd look to center, because I think that's a place the Devils can legitimately improve, and I think Dawson Mercer's a guy you don't mind kicking over to wing if you have to.
I mean, they've been doing that most of the, you know, since the last couple months of last season, and I just think like Jesper Boqvist, he's got 4 points in 17 games. You know, this team has been winning, and so, you know, there's no, you know, you don't want to mess with, you know, what doesn't appear to be broken. But he's worse than the average Devil in terms of some of those on ice statistics. You know, I don't see the reason why you would care that much about preserving his roster spot. Now, the Devils have a problem that a lot of the players that they would sub in for him are wingers, and they need the center. But that's why I think trading for an elite center really helps. It gives you a much better third line. It allows you to you know, let Jaeger, Sharangovich, and those guys, you know, really go out and score some goals. I like Bo Horvat. He's going to be traded. He's with Vancouver. Vancouver's not making the playoffs. And, You know, he's a center who's got 17 goals this season, which is more than anybody think on the Devils. It seems to me like a good one. And the Devils can part with a first round pick. They have a bunch of guys in the AHL that just aren't going to fit this roster. Someone like a Riley Walsh, I can see as an easy trade chip. NHL should be an NHL player, has been really successful at the AHL, but is not cracking a lineup, especially with Simon Nemec and Luke Hughes coming up soon.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I hadn't necessarily thought of Riley Walsh specifically as a trade target, but that
you also have like Nick Okoya, kind of a couple of those other guys who just aren't cracking this roster right now.
Yeah, how many years are left on Horvat's deal?
I think he's a free agent. Let me check.
It's an expiring contract? Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's 28 years old, so I think he's going to be a UFA at the end of the... Yeah, he is. Okay, he's going to be a UFA at the end of the season. He's only got a $5 million cap hit, too, so the Devils can easily fit that in.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The Devils might get into cap trouble in a couple of years as some of these young guys all need to be signed.
I don't think you could re-sign him. Like, no. the Devils don't... Like, the Devils are basically, like, once Luke Hughes and Simon Nemec need contracts, are basically maxed out.
But the beauty of it is, for this season, the Devils really don't have cap trouble. They can go out and get get somebody to add to this team without having to think about the salary cap implications.
Yeah, I think 3 weeks ago I was saying to myself, great step forward. This is a team that's going to make the playoffs, and I'll be really happy if they get into the second round. I think this team can win the Stanley Cup. And I think they should go for it. Like, I think they have such a surplus of resources. It's been so long since they made a deep run. You know, it's hard to make a deep run in hockey, so who knows what happens once the playoffs start. But, like, I just feel like this is a team that's built to dominate in the playoffs.
And most importantly, this is a team with a core that's going to be together for a while.
For so long.
So adding to it with a rental or two isn't going to hurt it for years to come.
No, and look, the Hughes and the Heischer contracts are going to look so good in a couple of years. But it allows them to give Jesper Bratt a ton of money. They're going to give him a ton of money.
God knows he's earned it.
Yeah, I mean, it kills me that they didn't sign him to a long-term contract before this season. He's doing an Aaron Judge. Has been slowed down a little bit since the start of the year, but still is, I think, leads the team in points or after tonight, maybe one behind. This team is, it's, you know, in hockey, because of the salary cap and because of just kind of how long players are usually pretty good for, there's less of injuries really cutting players' career short in hockey than in baseball. You can keep a core together for a very long time. And you think about, like, I mean, this is an extreme example. You think about the Penguins. The Penguins have been great since 2006. Like, since the day Crosby and Malkin started, and they put together Letang, and they put together this really incredible core, Fleury for a while, like, they've just been a dominant team. They won a bunch of Stanley Cups. You know, Washington, since the day Ovechkin breaks out, has been one of the best teams in hockey. Boston, you know, since they had Bergeron and other names escaping me right now, but like those teams have been good for so long. And I really feel like this is a Devils team that everybody's 22. Like, they could be really good for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, you go through the lineup of guys that are playing on a day-to-day basis, and the only guy here who breaks the 30-year-old threshold are Palat, who hasn't really played, and Arakawa. So this is a young team. They're... Most of the important players are signed long term. I mean, to your point about Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, that those contracts are going to look really good in a few years. Between the two of them, between Hughes and Hischier, the Devils are only in for a cap hit of $15 million for those two guys. And I think when you can say that that's your 1-2 punch, I don't know how you do better than that.
I mean, they are such, especially Heischer, are such strong players all over the ice. You know, like, I mean, yes, I'd prefer to have whatever a Connor McDavid than either of those guys, but there's not a lot of players I would prefer to be my two centers than Heeshern Hughes. I mean, Hughes just has the ability to dominate a game like no player I've ever seen with the Devils, right? Like I remember Patrick Elias at the height of his powers. He just wasn't this good.
I mean, in our lifetime, the best the Devils have had are Elias and Alexander McGillney. Those are the two guys.
I mean, Almo at like, you know, that 2001 team. I mean, that was pretty incredible. I mean, the Devils used to be a team that were just so deep, right? Like back when you had like John Madden scoring 15 shorthanded goals a season, and you know, Sergei Breland as your like number four center. Like they were pretty incredible. You had Martin Brodeur, you know, year in, year out, this just high quality goaltender. But I mean, the most dominant players on those teams were Scott Stevens and Scott Niedermeyer. And you know, it's like a dominant defenseman is different from dominant forward. But like, I just have never, maybe Taylor Hall that one season. I just have never seen a Devils forward be this fun to watch as Jack Hughes.
Taylor Hall had a tendency to disappear in the neutral zone in a way that Heeshern and Hughes don't. Hughes is never going to be known for his defensive play, but Hughes makes a difference in the neutral zone just purely based on how well he's able to control the puck and keep it away from the other team, even if he's not breaking into the offensive zone.
The player he reminds me the most of, in a weird way, is Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah.
Because Kovalchuk had the strongest legs. He's a much bigger guy than Hughes, right? Like, I remember one fight that Kovalchuk had where he just, like, manhandled whoever tried to fight him. It was fun to watch. But, like, Kovalchuk had the ability to accelerate on a dime. And Hughes does that. Like, Hughes can stop, turn, keep control of the puck, kick the puck off his skate, regain it, pass it to someone else, get in position, take a shot, right? Like, no, it is otherworldly to watch. And I can't think of a player I can really compare, like, a player of his size that's ever really done that. There have been big players like that who've been able to kind of maintain control of the puck. That wasn't even Kovalchuk's game, right? Kovalchuk was a shooter.
The closest guy I can think of in terms of offensive capability is Pavel Bure before the lower body injury.
Back when he still had those, before the knee problem, yeah.
Yeah, when he was still the Russian Rocket. But, there's not many guys at that size. That's the big thing, because Hughes is not a big guy.
All right, so there's going to be a trade deadline. The Devils are going to go to the playoffs. I want your prediction for the rest of the year. Regular season, Give me your regular season. Give me one player who has not turned it on yet, who's going to turn it on by the end of the season, and tell me what happens in the playoffs.
I think in the second half of the year, I think Dawson Mercer is going to turn it on. I think that guy has all of the things that I like about both Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier's games. They're elements of both of their games in Dawson Mercer, and I think he's 21 and he's just starting to figure out where he fits in the system. I think in the second half of the year, there's going to be a month where he goes on a tear. So he's the guy that I'm looking for to sort of break out. I think the Devils are what they look like right now. I think they're a really good hockey team. I think in the regular season, I think they're going to finish top three in the Eastern Conference.
I think the Metropolitan Division is really weak right now. Like, I don't buy what the Islanders are doing. And so, like, maybe Pittsburgh goes on a hot streak. But, you know, like, this does not feel like a division that where the old guard, Pittsburgh and Washington, are on their last legs.
Yep. I think Pittsburgh is hanging by a thread. I don't think they're very deep. Chris Letang is out indefinitely now with a second stroke, which is awful. You're exactly right. I don't think Washington is as deep. The Rangers are terrible.
Tampa is not nearly as good, you know, in the other division.
Nope. So the Metro isn't going to be as difficult as it's been in previous seasons. I think the Devils are a pretty safe top three team in the Eastern Conference. The playoffs are an entirely different animal in hockey. I think that, although baseball's getting to be that way with expanded playoffs, but I think that it's really, really difficult to catch lightning in a bottle and get through the playoffs. But I think the Devils are uniquely suited to still have legs in that part of the year. The Devils are really young. skate.
I think they will outlast other teams. Like, I think Boston is going to be exhausted if they play the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Devils will just, like, they'll just, like, they'll have more left.
The big trick is going to be for the, as it is with every team, the Devils need to stay healthy. And if they go into a playoff series with both Hughes and Hischier up front, and the Devils mostly have their blue line intact, I think it bodes well for the Devils. I really think this is a team that can go to the Stanley Cup. I'm like, I agree with you. I want a center. My second choice would be, I'd love to have another top six defenseman just for depth purposes.
It is weird that Brendan Smith has been on this team during this entire incredible run.
And he's played 20-plus games. It's not like he's been a bit player.
I mean, he's been playing, like 12 minutes a game. I hope that the Devils take this opportunity to let Kevin Ball play, because he looks so good in the preseason, scored a goal tonight. His numbers when he has played have been really, really good. I get why they didn't sub out Brendan Smith, but that should never have happened.
I can tell you for certain that you just made a couple of Devils fans that I know very, very happy by mentioning that Kevin Ball should play a lot more.
I got the vibe early on, like, Brendan Smith was playing to be the guy who has to fight occasionally, right? But yep. Kevin Ball is 6'6". Like, no one's fighting Kevin Ball. He'll kick their ass. Like, I have complete faith that if Ottawa wants to play a dirty game, that the Devils have Kevin Ball and usually Nate Bastian or whoever who can kick their ass. Like, I don't think they need to carry a spare grunt who plays 12 minutes a game and looks pretty unremarkable.
Yeah, the days of Cam Jansen's roaming the ice should be pretty close to done.
Yeah, and like the Devils are not a small team. They're not a big team. But they're not getting pushed around out there. And even when teams try to push them around, like, they're just faster. Like, they're too fast to push around. I'm not even a little bit concerned about again, the Devils needing a big guy. And again, Kevin Ball is not a small guy. It's not like they're putting, whatever, Will Butcher out there. It's a top prospect who is the biggest guy on the ice.
I think that's another factor that's really interesting. This team, I mean, we've watched this team grow up before our eyes. We've seen Hischier, Hughes, Brott. We saw all of those guys play as either teenagers or guys in their early 20s. Bodies fill out. And while this was the smallest team in the NHL, and you could see they got beat up out there, when these guys were young, they're not really getting beat up anymore because they can skate around them. But they also have a couple of... Hischier himself is a bigger guy than he used to be. Miles Wood isn't somebody you mess with. Michael McLeod isn't a small guy. Ryan Graves is around.
Fabian Zetterlund is jacked.
Yep. There are guys around to protect the stars is where I'm going with it.
And I just the game has changed. Like, there aren't none of the good teams you're going to face in the playoffs are bruiser teams. I think about how Philly came out early in the season, and Philly came out early in the season as this hard hitting dirty team because they're not any good.
Mm-hmm. And John Tortorella is their coach.
So. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is not the strategy that teams use anymore. No team carries not just a Cam Jansen type, but even like a slow moving big defenseman, a Colin White type. It's a faster, or different game. The Devils are just set up for that so well. Okay. My prediction, the Devils win the division. They are the second best team in the Eastern Conference behind Boston. They cruise through the first couple rounds of the playoffs. And then, of course, remember, on this podcast, we're not allowed to predict the Devils will lose. The New Jersey Devils beat the Boston Bruins in the Eastern Conference Finals. They go on to take on the upstart Seattle Kraken in the Stanley Cup Finals and beat them in 7 games. Sorry, Seattle, you'll have to wait one more year, but good for you, expansion team. The other possibility is the Los Angeles Kings in the finals. I want to note, revenge series. I still remember that series. That was awful. It was fun, but it was awful. And I think this is there's no reason to predict the Devils won't win the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, I think they're as good as any team except for maybe Boston. And I think they have a game right before Christmas against Boston. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
Let's hope they get healthy. Let's hope the goaltending stays good. And we'll see how the trade deadline goes. Andy, we will talk again if the Devils are looking good going into the playoffs. But I promise everybody who listened to this, if you listen this long, you're probably a hockey fan. So I got bad news for you. We're not going to do this that often. This is still a baseball podcast. But the Devils are just too good to ignore. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Sunday with a new episode of the Bronx Beat Podcast.